So while they're coming down, I was sitting up here thinking, I know they're nervous, but they don't understand how nervous I am that I have to follow them. They get forgiven. They're all high schoolers. I'm an adult. Don't tell my mom. She doesn't know that yet. But I was sitting up here thinking, I have an opportunity every Wednesday night. We'll have about somewhere between 80, 85 students back in the youth room on Wednesday night from 7th to 12th grade. And I get to speak to them every Wednesday, and we'll do different things. I don't know how many are up here, 70-some. But it's humbling to stop and think. I get to preach to one age group of our church every week, and it is almost the size of the average church in America. And I think, okay, God, that's awesome that you've blessed Berean that way. But then I stop and think, I grew up in a church that had 50 people on Sunday morning. My pastor that I grew up under doesn't even get to preach to that many people. And how in the world do I get to be here? And it's only a holy God. So Pastor mentioned this morning, you know, stopping to think about where you would be without the grace of God. And so, I have no idea. Well, if I get slides, we'll move on. But I learned a long time ago, working under Pastor Sean, you print your slides out to begin so that whenever technology fails, you can still be prepared. All right, so this is for me, not for you, but I want you guys to learn the Ten Commandments, and so you can, you know, ace any of Pastor Sean's quizzes, because he went back to first class, right? So he's not in here. So we're all going to learn it this way, and then you can be, you know, blowing his mind when the whole church, you know, gets 100%. So if you know me, you know I've worked in children's ministry for years and then moved into youth ministry in the last couple years. But I absolutely love working with young people of all ages. One, because I get to act like one of them when you do it. So if you wonder how I do it, that's why, because I act like a 12-year-old. But to learn the Ten Commandments, here are some hand signals. And Adam, you here tonight? Adam Green? He posted a Facebook video of this, but mine are cooler because I learned mine as a sixth grader. So this is how effective these are. I learned them as a sixth grade child, and I still remember them. All right, so all you got to do is remember how to count with your fingers. So number one, there is one God. All right, pretty simple. All right, you don't have to say it with me, but you all must use your hands and participate. Okay, there is one God. All right, number two, take your hand, turn it sideways like a pair of scissors, like you're in crafts class, and thou shalt not make any graven images. All right, number three, forms a W. Because of our words in relation to number one, we do not take the Lord's name in vain. So, one God, no graven images. We watch our words with God, and we don't take his name in vain. Four, probably the biggest stretch of them all, there are four wheels on the car that brought you to church. Therefore, you must remember the Sabbath. Okay? Because if you forget one of those wheels, good luck making it here, all right? I'm not saying you plan to come on three wheels or two, but if you forget one of the intentional four, all right, remember the Sabbath day. Number five, it takes a complete hand to salute, honor thy mother and thy father. Number six, probably my favorite one growing up, because everyone makes finger guns, psh, thou shalt not kill, all right? It's even more fun if you go, psh, when you do it, all right? So, great. All right. We're going to have fun tonight regardless, so might as well get it out now before we get to that thing we're not allowed to do, because we're in the Ten Commandments. All right. That's number six. Number seven, on this hand it is a V for virtue. All right. Thou shalt not commit adultery, because you are to remain virtuous. So, one God, no graven images, watch your words with God, don't take his name in vain. Four wheels on the car to remember the Sabbath. Five, to salute, to honor your parents. Six, to not kill. Seven, to remember you're supposed to be virtuous and not commit adultery. Eight, if you'll notice, you are missing a finger on this hand because you stole something. All right. Thou shalt not steal. So, eight, thou shalt not steal. Nine, well, four say this, five say this, and that's bearing false witness. So number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. And number 10, with your hands, you want to grab everything because you are not allowed to covet. All right, so I'll review very quickly for you. You can go home and practice this. All right, students, make sure mom and dad do this at home. all right? Because they're going to want to remind you of everything else we talk about tonight. So, one God, no graven images, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, four wheels on the car to remember the Sabbath, five to honor your mother and father, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. All right, you get your hands working and you can learn a lot of things. Ask any teacher that's worked in elementary, that's what you got to do. All right, you want to learn a song, you got to teach them hand motions. So if you know where we are in Exodus, you know it's not verse 12. There's a reason for that. 2 weeks ago, when I emailed Pastor Sean, I was like, hey, can you let me know where we're going to be for youth night? Because when you're not in here normally, you know, you want extra time to prepare. For my regular Wednesday crowd, I'm okay with a week's notice, but okay, I have to preach to the big people. So I asked for where he was going to be, and he sent me this stopping point. And then last week, as he is about 25 minutes into his sermon, my heart starts to sink, and I realize he's not getting through another commandment. So he was gracious enough to say, no, just finish, and then I'll circle back and get commandment number four, which is number what? What is that? Remember the Sabbath, all right? So tonight, we're going to get the command with promise out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which reads, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we are so thankful that on this evening, once a year, we get to set aside a time where our young people realize what it is to lead and worship. An attempt to train them up in the way that they should go, that they would know how they should behave themselves in the house of God, that they would rise up to be the next generation of church leaders. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the young people that I get to minister to every week, for the adults that work with me. You know how much they do behind the scenes. And Father, I ask that you would be with us tonight as we open up your word, as we examine this verse that many of us know, but not always understanding the full ramifications of it. Help us to understand it. Learn something new from a passage that we've known most of our lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, honor thy father and thy mother. And before any parents start elbowing the kids, yeah, hey, you know, that conversation we had in the car on the way here, we have to go ahead and get the Old Testament context on this verse. Okay, because there is a context for it. Okay, and I want to get through that, and we're going to spend some time in Exodus. We're actually going to look at a lot of references in Deuteronomy, and then a few in the New Testament as well that comment on this idea of honoring thy father and thy mother. But I almost think it would be disingenuous for me not to touch on Deuteronomy, because if you know the story of the children of Israel, what do they struggle with? Obeying. And they're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and then God's going to give them the exact same law with some commentary by Moses again in the book of Deuteronomy, because they didn't listen to it the first time. So as we go through this list of 10 commandments that we narrow it down to, but really there are hundreds of laws mentioned here, I want to look at kind of the whole council as far as what does Moses say the first time he uses this commandment, and what also does Moses say when he references this commandment later on. And as I started to go through and study this, and you see different parts of this passage showing up in multiple locations, it's like, wow, this is one of those subjects that if you start tugging on this thread, you're going to ruin the whole garment. It's not short. It's going to have ramifications that go all the way through. So let's look at that Old Testament context. In the purest sense of the context, even though we do need to memorize them and we need to apply them to our lives, remember, this is a list of rules for this group of people that have to go in and occupy this land. God says, I'm giving you this land. Here's how I want you to behave while you're there, while you're going there. Don't do this. Do this. And this list of rules that we have. So this is at its core, really it's legalism, a list of do's and do nots, which we as, you know, as Christians in the New Testament era, we're like, oh, well, praise the Lord, we don't have all these rules. But we'll see that it actually reflects quite a bit about who God is and teaches us much about who He is. So at the core, of our verse where it says in verse 12, let's read it again, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He opened up the list saying, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, now do these things because of what I have done for you, is kind of the verbiage. Now he's saying, and with what I'm going to be doing with you, obey these rules. Follow this list. So this promise, this commandment, has to do with not only where they're going to live, but how long they get to live there. Because if we're honest with ourselves, you know, usually when we think of honor thy parents, it's like, you know, my kid mouthed off to me. Or for me, I'm not quite at that point with my children. It's I remember mouthing off to my mom and my dad. And we're like, oh yeah, that's what it means. This had to do with their livelihood. That should they violate this, it's going to mean they're going to need a new home. Or they're not going to like the home they're taken to, as we find out later in Scripture. So we see a command to all. And I want to explain to you why I say it's a command to all. And if you want to disagree with me, that's fine. You're welcome to. This is not a hill I want to die on. I just see it in the plain reading of the text. Pastor Sean and I talked about it, but you're welcome to disagree with me. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. In the context, from what you understand, what do we usually assume is happening here? Who is speaking? Who's the author? Who's speaking the words? God. Who's the hearer? A couple different answers, right? I think it's everyone. And let me show you why I think that. Look up, or maybe back a page, in Exodus 19. And in the plain reading of the text, Exodus chapter 19, look at verse 20. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Skip down to verse 25. So Moses went down unto the people. Moses goes up the mountain. Moses comes back down the mountain. Chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, and then he goes into his list of commands. Now, further than where we are this evening, look at verse 18. And the people saw the thunderings, the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet. We're in verse 18. And the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And then they said to Moses, you speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and this that his fear may be upon your faces, and ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So in the plain reading of the text, and if you want to disagree with me, like I said, you're welcome to, it looks like Moses goes up in 19, comes back down in 19, tells the people, hey, don't touch the mountain, you need to line yourselves up accordingly, and then God gives us this initial list, and then Moses goes back up to get the rest of the details, is what it looks like. So in this first command that we see with a promise, I think it's being addressed to all along with everyone else. And it will be later on. But it kind of changes, at least in my mind, well, if I'm told something by my leader, by my boss, by my parent, that's one thing. If they say, God says you should do this. But if they heard God's voice himself speaking to them, with it being God's words, it doesn't change the end result, but just think about how that would make you feel if it went from hearing your senior pastor say something to audibly hearing the voice of God. It's no wonder they're scared to death like Moses. You go talk to him, we'll stay down here, you tell us what he said. And he does just that. As we cycle back around after their 40 years of wandering in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and now, O Israel, verse 1, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them. Why? That you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Wait, chapter 20, verse 12 says, you do this, you honor your father and your mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which you're being given. So I have to honor to be there in that land, that my days are long in that land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he says I'm supposed to listen and do these things so that idea of being in the land gets to stick around. Because failure to obey is going to bring consequence. And what we need to understand as Christians, because this applies to us as much as it does to them, that future blessing from God depends on my present obedience. They cannot assume that God's going to give them everything just because they're children of Abraham. It is contingent upon their obedience. As Christians, and I see it a lot with teenagers, we cannot assume that just because we're a Christian that God's going to bless every little thing that we do. Sometimes our failure to obey brings the ramifications of it, and it's a consequence that we don't like. So we have to obey now if we want to expect a blessing in the future. And sometimes that blessing may be that He takes you home early. Not all blessing is monetary in this life. Because if we take this to where our flesh wants to go, then some of these concepts and these principles for us, I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it does if you look at it from God's economy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 goes on to say in verse 25, after you have produced children and grandchildren and have been in the land a long time. Well, in order for them to produce children and grandchildren, you know what they're doing? They're obeying the covenant that was made with Adam back in the garden. Be fruitful and multiply. So they're obeying that rule. And they've produced children and grandchildren, and they've been in the land a long time. And it's a, if you become corrupt, meaning you're supposed to be living a certain way, which means they're teaching God's statutes, then if they make an image, then what will happen? He's going to invoke heaven and earth as witnesses against them, and the very land that He promised, He will surely and swiftly remove them from it because they failed to obey. It's going to be a hard lesson for Israel to learn. The moms and the dads that heard it, possibly audibly from the mouth of God, failed. The children that were reminded of it after 40 years in the wilderness, some of them failed. Because over time, they become corrupt. They fail to obey God's law. So the second thing we need to learn is that there are always consequences to disobedience. It may be now, it may be later, but there are always consequences. And you can pick your sin, but you can't pick your consequence. And we have to understand that. But if we look at our command from chapter 12, which is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, it looks a little different when Moses repeats it in the book of Deuteronomy. So let's compare them. We just read Exodus' version, and in Deuteronomy there's an additional statement, and that it may go well with you. So he tells them the first time to the first generation, honor that your days are long. He doesn't list a quality for those days. He lists a quantity. Long days. Many days. The second time around, that it'll go well with you. Mom and dad in the previous generation, they probably had plenty of days. Wandering and wandering and wandering. To the point of, okay, now it's time for you to die, and I will take your children into the promised land. So he adds this qualifier of, it'll also go well with you as you go into the land. So we saw the command to parents, the command to everyone. Hey, here's what you're supposed to be doing, honoring. Now I want to get a little more specific to the parents, and don't worry, it's coming for the children. Chapter 4, verse 40 of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt keep, therefore, his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So now he's saying the exact same thing, but if you look at the words that he says, now he's saying it went from honor your father and mother to now it's obey my law, that it'll go well with you. Well, we heard that in Exodus. And now it's with your children after you, which there's that understood, being fruitful and multiplying, obeying that covenant, that promise that was made, that thou mayest prolong the days upon the earth. We see the same promise of the longer days and enjoying the days that are there coming up over and over and over again. And it's almost like, why are you pointing this out to us, Moses? Well, we said, because obedience now connects to future blessing. And if I disobey, I have to deal with those consequences. But if I'm a parent, which I am, okay, haven't been one very long, this month my oldest will turn 3. Woo-hoo, yeah. All right. But I have to understand that my relationship with my son, even now, has to draw application from this passage. Chapter 32, he says this. Moses again, take heart, verse 46. The words which I am warning you today, that you command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. Verse 47, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over to the Jordan to possess. We keep seeing long life, live in the land, long life in the land, and this parent-child relationship. And mom and dad, we have to understand that God's commands have to be obeyed as well as taught. Because if I don't obey God's command, then I can't expect my children to obey God's command. It starts with me, and if I listen, if I'm honoring, if I'm following the Ten Commandments in our context, then I'll understand I should be obeying them first, and I'm supposed to be passing them along to the next generation, specifically my children. So if I stop with just obeying them, I have failed. And if I start with only teaching them, I have failed. I have to first listen to them myself and then teach them. Because obedience to God's command directly affects the quality and the quantity of our years on this life. You want the years in this earth to be worth something? You're going to have to obey God's direct commands. Now, when we get into this, we're like, well, what about all those people that die at an early age, or what we would consider an early age? Take the biblical examples, Ananias and Sapphira. We're not exactly told how old they are, but their life is ended prematurely because of disobedience, lying to the Holy Spirit. You have plenty of examples in the Old Testament of individuals that lose their life. The nation of Israel, God wiped out half the nation 40 years and up because they disobeyed Him. Over and over again that happens. An individual that lives to be 35 when they were only supposed to live to be 30 because they obeyed God gets longer years on this earth. And as long as we look at it from our perspective of you're supposed to live 70 years, well, then we'll never understand it. But if we're willing to take a step back and say, no, God's the one that determines the age of an individual, how long they have to live on this earth, well, then maybe they were given extra time based upon their obedience. If you would like a resource for this, I can't recommend this book enough. This is Sacred Parenting by Gary Thomas. I can't take any credit for picking it up on my own. It was part of one of the classes I'm taking. And so I picked it up on audiobook and listened to it in the car. And the whole premise of his book is that parenting has almost, I won't say nothing, has very little to do with you getting your children right. But it has everything to do with you getting you right. I cannot tell you how much my eyes have been opened to who God is as much as it has been in the last 3 years of being a dad. To see someone else's life and the concept of obedience versus disobedience, you almost start to understand why God gave us free will. Because nothing brings me more pleasure than my son obeying me simply because he loves me. I can scare it into him, sure. But that's not as enjoyable for me. And every mom and dad in the room know that. But how often do we let ourselves get so caught up in the, you know, oh, I don't want to have the bad kid in the nursery because I have him, all right? I know you thought it was yours, but it's mine, okay? And we get caught up on that, or we get caught up on, oh, this is the third time I've been called in the principal's office this year. his book points out, no, it's about how you respond in those situations. Are you obeying God's commands first as you teach them to your child? Because when we start to have a proper perspective on who we are in obeying God's commands and honoring our parents, honoring those in authority over us, then it starts to change the dynamic on how I interact with my children. Because if I lash out irrationally or in my flesh against my son, I failed at representing God to him. And so when we see a command that says to honor our parents, and it's given to adults primarily, and then expected to be taught to the next generation, God's not issuing this saying, I know this isn't going to apply right now, but you'll need it one day. It was for them as they heard it. And a resource like this will help you understand it. Or you can just do everything I just said. Skip reading the whole book. All right? But it is a great book. I cried in chapter 13. Bad idea to drive while reading, listening to that. Okay? But the expectation then for my child to obey and honor really begins with an examination of where I am with God. And so, mom and dad, you know, as you were thinking about nudging your child this evening, about them honoring you, stop and think about nudging yourself and saying, how am I doing at it? Because if you're failing, they're going to. Because they're only going to follow your example. Then we move on to see the command to children. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is where we all like to park it in camp. Because it's the thing we get to the hangover kids' heads. All right? Why? That thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then we'll get there, but you know, you hear that idea of honor, and like, okay, yeah, okay, well, then we can talk about what honor means, and we will. But then you read one chapter ahead, and you get these two verses in the midst of several different laws. He gets into some laws of dealing with slaves, and then you get these two random verses in Exodus 21. And teenagers, I hope you're listening, because this should scare you. Verse 15, Exodus 21, whoever strikes his father or mother shall be put to death. That escalated quickly there, Moses. It went from I honor them to now if I hit them, I'm going to be killed. And then he ups the ante just two verses later, whoever curses his father or mother shall be put to death. And I read that and I'm just like, I am so thankful I live in an age of grace, because how many of you are like me, you would already have been dead. You're guilty on one of them. Yeah, the rest of you are just being dishonest. All right, I know you all weren't that perfect as children. But when we read that, he says honor, and then in a couple verses of clarification, well, what does it mean to honor? Well, I guarantee you this, you're not going to put your hands on your parents, because you're not honoring them if you do that. And you're not going to curse them. And let's keep in mind that in a scriptural context of curse, cursing's not always four-letter words. That's our idea of curse. Their idea of curse was a negative saying against them, wishing ill will against someone. For us, that's just being unkind, because we're really good at explaining our sins away. But in Moses' time, well, that's how you honor. Verse 1, chapter 8 of Deuteronomy says, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. Speaking to the children of the first group that failed, he's now telling them, you obey this. Why? So that they go into the land, and look what he's telling them they're supposed to do when they get there. Live and multiply. Over and over again, we see these concepts coming back up. Why? Because this is what they're supposed to be doing. You want to represent me in Canaan, Israel? Here's what you do. You follow this list of things to do, which, by the way, is impossible to complete all of it. Okay, there's only one person that did, and he died on the cross for us. And they're supposed to be obeying that previous command of being fruitful and multiply. Well, why? Because I swore this, or I promised this to your fathers. You know, the ones that I wiped out for not obeying. The ones who you bear their name of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I promised them that you would get this. So he's speaking to children that you're supposed to go and complete this promise, this command that I have given to you, because those before you failed to. So he's commanding children. Later on, Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47, we've seen these. He says to them, take heart to do all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do, because it is up for your life, is what verse 47 says. Again, hey, you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be passing this on, they're supposed to be passing this on, and as long as you're obeying, you get to live long in the land. When you stop obeying, that's when trouble's going to come. They failed. Those of you that know the narrative of the Old Testament, you know they get carried away. Assyria in 722, there are really a couple deportations, but 722 is the major one. Later, Babylon, 586. Assyria takes out the northern 10 tribes. They never really come back. 586 with King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, all right, the southern 2 tribes, they do end up coming back under Nehemiah and Ezra. But look at what we have this exilic prophet saying, Ezekiel. He says, but I said to their children in the wilderness, speaking back about Deuteronomy, chapter 32, chapter 8, chapter 4, all those chapters we're looking at, when I was getting ready to take those children into the promised land, when I gave them God's command and what they're supposed to be doing, here's what I said to them. Don't do what your parents did. They failed. Walk not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. Joshua tells us the exact same storyline. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it's the gods your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We have biblical record of people following God's word, and we have biblical record of people who failed. Guess which ones got blessed? Those that obeyed. That's the Old Testament context. Now let's get into the New Testament context. We have this instruction, which is our go-to. Where are we going to go when we go to New Testament? Ephesians chapter 6, all right? And I have it for you on the screen. We're going to connect these two ideas because remember, in the Old Testament context, we saw three areas that were addressed. Everyone, parents, and children. We're going to see the exact same thing from Paul's words. Because while we all well know verses 1 through 3, there's also a verse 4. And Paul opens up chapter 6 with saying, children, how many of you could quote it with me? Anyone? No? Oh, this is so disappointing. We need to get to like a verse of all the children are raising their hands. Okay, but mom and dad don't know it. See, this is what we're talking about. We need to go to a verse of the day with Sunday evening services. You have to come, in order to come to church, you have to have a verse memorized. No, that would shrink the crowd. Never mind. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's that promise? Paul tells us, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. In the context of the Old Testament, Moses or God, whichever perspective you want to take, or depending on which book, Exodus or Deuteronomy, Moses and God are speaking, saying, honor, obey, to go get this promised land. New Testament, not dealing with the promised land, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, if you want to live well on this earth, church at Ephesus, here's what you need to do. Obey and honor. But then he adds this wonderful verse 4 for all the adults, because it's not just the fathers. I could see how dads struggle with it more. But fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline or the nurture and admonition, the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Because it's really easy for us in our flesh to provoke our children to do something and then come down on them really hard when they don't honor and obey us. Paul understood that. Even though he didn't have children, he was the child of someone. He ministered in churches that had these familial relationships. And so he saw that. He knew it needed to be said. That there's a relationship for the child that you need to obey and you need to honor. And parents, you need to be careful and cautious on how you're interacting with your child because you're God's representative to them. You're supposed to be teaching them. You're the one setting the example for them. And your failure to comply is going to affect their ability to do so. It won't be their excuse on the day of judgment, but it's going to affect them. And the same author, Paul in Colossians, tells us in chapter 3, verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And if any of you were like me growing up, you had a mom that quoted that to you every time you disobeyed. My teenagers probably get tired of me saying, "My mom said this to me all the time." I'll stop saying it when I stop remembering things my mom said to me all the time. But she was careful to do that. Why? Because she knew one day it'd be stuck in my head, and then it would be God convicting me, not her. That we should be obeying, we should be honoring. Well, we see Paul say obey. We see Paul say honor. The Old Testament says we're supposed to honor. So what's the difference between these two words? Because every student in the room who really likes loopholes, which, by the way, Pharisees look for loopholes. If you haven't listened to that sermon by Ligon Duncan from the Together for the Gospel conference, I encourage you to do so. But every student that looks for loopholes is going to like, well, I can honor them without obeying them, especially when it comes to taking out the trash, doing the dishes, mowing the yard. Now, how many students with me on that one? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, they're not listening. They're on their phones. They're Snapchatting each other back and forth. Half of you don't even know what Snapchat is, and that's okay. You don't need to know. It'll be gone in 5 years, and something else will take its place. But we have this idea of honor versus obey. Honor, from Exodus chapter 20, is the idea of to be heavy, weighty, grievous, hard, rich, honorable, glorious, burdensome, to be honored. And those are kind of all the different ways it's translated. And as I was, you know, reading through this and looking at it, I'm like, that makes very little sense to me. How can you use heavy the same way you can use the word honor? Like, I've picked up heavy things before. You know, Marcus picks up heavy things, puts them down for fun. I don't think of honor when I think of weightlifting. So what are we talking about? And as I sat there thinking about it, this is completely my speculation. Maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't. How much more careful are you when you're picking up something heavy? You know it's going to be heavy, so you kind of go into it like, all right, you know, we're going to move the piano off the stage. You know you're prepared. You're bending with the knees. You didn't go help because you know you're back. You know, we spend a little more time thinking about some of those things when you know you're going to be picking up something that's heavy versus, you know, you go to pick up a Bible out of the pew and you think nothing about it. What about the time something's deceptively heavy? And you assumed it was going to be lightweight, and you go like, whoa, nope, not going with that. I think that's kind of the idea here behind honor, is as I would go in to pick up or move something heavy, I'm going to completely change my approach to it. And I think that's the concept of honor, is it's not the end result of obedience necessarily that changes. It's the, how am I going into this? What am I going to do when I get to that point? And it's going to control that thought process of how I handle it before I ever get to whether or not I'm moving it or whether or not I'm obeying. Whereas obey is just to listen or to hearken. I love this definition of the, you know, when there's a knock on the door, it's the person who goes to get it. It's kind of the idea of a butler. But even with this concept, because we do have to recognize that there are times that obedience is not always the best thing. There are very few times I would trust if you're a parent here on a Sunday night that obedience is always the best thing. But there are those circumstances in life when we would say, okay, yeah, that's a situation in which I would tell you not to obey mom or not to obey dad. But those are very few and far between. But even with that definition of the person who goes to listen when someone knocks at the door, well, it doesn't necessarily say they open it, but they go and attend to see what it is. Which I think is almost the same concept of that idea of honor. If something is heavy or I'm that thought process leading me into, well, how am I going to handle this? Well, it's not that you get to sit and not listen to whatever it is. No, you're going to listen. But then there's a process on whether or not you obey or you carry out what it is that was instructed. And so while we use these two words almost interchangeably sometime, I really think it's both. That you should obey every time you can and always honor. But there are a few times when disobedience would be the right thing. Peter says that there are times we ought to obey God rather than man. If your parents are telling you to disobey God's clear commands, I'd obey God. But like I said, I don't think any of you here are telling your kids to violate God's law. If you are, you can schedule an appointment with one of the pastors, and we'll take care of that. We'll just pray for you, because there's nothing we can do to change your heart. That'll be the Holy Spirit. But number five, good news, I only have six of these, so you guys are, you're doing well, all right? Pat yourselves on the back, A plus for effort. Obedience to parents may not always be required, but honoring them is. And we understand this the older we get, that some decisions, you listen to what your parents have to say, and then you might choose a different route. But that doesn't excuse you from honoring them in the decision. And that's usually, as you become an adult, is really where that transition kind of starts to happen. But then at the same time, and many of you that have gone through this stage of life, young people have no idea what this means. But now I'm at the point where I go back and talk to mom and dad, asking them what I should do, because it'd be a whole lot easier if they could just tell me what to do, rather than me having to figure it out myself. Well, then it's mom and dad's fault on whatever I did, because I was just obeying mom and dad. There's that transition, you know, hits about 13. Really, it's not even 13. It's about as soon as you can talk, where obeying mom and dad is no longer fun. And then it goes till you hit something in the 20s, and you're like, oh, actually, it's a whole lot better to obey mom and dad. Something about that maturity process and how God made us. Then we see a couple poor examples. Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy give us two lists of people that have basically forgotten God. God's given them up to a reprobate or a debased mind in Romans chapter 1. They did not see fit to acknowledge God, and God gave them up. Heaven forbid you ever find yourself in a list of people that God gave up on. But here's what he did. He gave them up because they have a debased mind to do what should not be done. He gives us this long list, and right there at the end, verse 30, disobedient to parents. Now, that does not necessarily mean that if you disobey mom and dad one time, that you have been given over to a reprobate mind. What it should be, young people, is the more and more you disobey mom and dad, the greater likelihood you'll end up on this list. Because I guarantee you that haters of God didn't start without being disobedient to mom and dad. Those that are willing to murder, yeah, they weren't always obedient to mom and dad. Because it starts with something small, something easy, and as we become callous to sin, then we're willing to escalate it to whatever it is that our flesh desires. And in 2 Timothy, Paul says this, "Know this, that in the last days, when time is coming to an end, and it will be soon for Christ's return, men are going to love themselves, they'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, they're going to be disobedient to their parents." It's almost as if God said way back in Exodus, if you will honor, if you will obey, if you will respect your parents, you're going to be very different from the people that are going to be so wicked that it's going to draw in my return to earth. So he gives us, we get a couple bad examples, and then we get our perfect example, which we know has to be Christ. But we see two sides of his perfect example. One, in Luke chapter 2, hopefully many of you know 252, where it says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and favor and God, with God and man. But 51 is really impressive. Because as they're at the temple, Jesus stays behind. How old is he? Quiz. All right, 12. All right, he's about 12 years old when they leave him behind at the temple. They go back and they say, "Jesus, you know, what are you doing here?" And Jesus' reply, verse 49, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I would be in my Father's house?" And his parents didn't understand the remark that he made, verse 51. But then he went down with them to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. The Messiah, who clearly already knew what he was supposed to be doing, still chose to submit himself and honor and obey the earthly parents he had been given. But not just to his earthly parents, to his heavenly Father. In Matthew 26, in the garden, going a little further, he throws himself down with his face to the ground and prays this: "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, your will, God. I'm going to honor you in this. I'm going to obey you in this. Because it's not about me. He was God. It could have been all about him. But to be a perfect example, to complete the law of honoring his father perfectly, even if it meant his death, he obeyed. And number six, simple commands require simple obedience. I can't take credit for this statement. I heard it from a friend years ago who used it with his children. But the idea is so mind-blowing. I give you a simple command, I expect simple obedience. I think God does the exact same thing. Hey, Israel, have no other gods. Well, what do you mean by that, God? No other gods. Hey, don't make graven images. So, can we make a golden calf? No. Can I dishonor mom and dad? No. Can I hit mom and dad? No. Simple command, simple obedience is required for it to be complete obedience. And really, I didn't put this one up there, but partial obedience is disobedience. Another thing my mom said to me all the time. Have you figured out what kind of a kid I was yet? It's really what tonight's all about. Brian failed as a child doing this. Okay. But simple commands require simple obedience. So as we close, I've got three things for us. Something for everyone, something for the parents, and something for the children. Because in that announcement to everyone where it was audible, here's what you should be doing. Here's what we hear. Obey God. Here's the list of things to do. Obey me. And that's a whole lot easier for us to say than it is to do if we're honest, right? Yeah, okay, God, I'll obey you. Wait, now? Today? Oh, on this thing as well? Yes, obey me. Number two, honor your parents. Even as adults, we can still dishonor our parents if we choose to live in our flesh. And it's almost as if, and the older I get, the more I start to realize and see different things transpiring around me, that there are two times in a person's life when honoring your parents is the most difficult. When you need them for everything as a child, and when they need you for everything at the end of their life. Why? Because that's when you can't be selfish about it. Because you have to understand it's not about you. It's about what God has placed you on this earth to do, which is obey and honor your parents. To the parents, same list. Obey God. Honor your parents. Because your example in honoring your parents is going to be passed on to your children. You need to teach your children that they're supposed to be honoring their parents. First and foremost, by your demonstration of it, but also by audibly teaching them. And number four, be consistent. There is nothing in all the years I've spent in a classroom that will ruin your classroom discipline more than inconsistency. If you've ever been in a classroom, either on a student side or teacher side, where you just didn't know how someone was going to be on a particular day, it was not fun. But even more so than their personality and what kind of mood they were going to be in, if one day you got this level punishment for talking without permission, and on this day you got nothing for talking without permission, and on this day it was even worse than it was the first time. The level of discipline, if it is not consistent, inconsistency will breed contempt. It'll do that in a classroom, which is where I have plenty of experience. What is it, 6 years, 7 years, Mrs. Adams? Wow, I have 7 years of experience of doing something other than breathing. This is great. In a classroom or with your children, with employees, with anyone, your relationship with other humans, if you are not consistent, it'll breed contempt. And to the children, obey God, honor your parents, and you need to start learning how to teach your children. Because when the children who were there at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20 heard God's command, honor your mother and your father, and those children that grew up that had children with them in Deuteronomy, when they heard the commands a second time, and he says, and your children, teach this to your children, there's this idea of you're supposed to be passing it on. Many of you have testimonies of you had, I'll use the word terrible parents. You did not have godly parents. And you saw a poor example and you chose to live another life. And praise God for that. Because that's exactly this concept, that you learned to teach your children by your being here now, even though your parents aren't. So how are you doing on this? It's a command that we all have known. Honor your mother and your father. Why? So that I can enjoy life here now, but that it's reflective of my relationship with God. That's what all these commands are. Is it is just a thermostat of, hey, how close are you to me? Are you following me? Are you listening to me? Do you live like I want you to live? Because that's really what they are instead of a list of do's and don'ts. But this is the one that comes with a promise. And while none of them are necessarily more important than the other, we definitely see that there are greater ramifications for some than others. And some have different consequences. Some are immediate. Some are in the future. But we don't know when or what or how they will affect us. But we do know, based upon Scripture's example, that there are consequences for them. So for the ones that are a little easier than others, we should be working on it. So let's do that. Mom and Dad, first with you, and then with your children. Young people, I don't care what kind of example you have for parents, you're responsible. Whether you're 17, 18, about to graduate, or whether you're 7. God's commands are God's commands. They're not age explicit. We should be obeying them. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come together with this church, with this local body of Christ, and to open your word. Father, I thank you so much for the young people and their willingness to participate in this ministry. I ask that you would take us from this place safely to our homes, that you'd bless the time that the teenagers have to follow, that as we go home contemplating what it means to honor our parents, even as adults, that you would help us to recall it, that you would bring it to memory, that if there is a sin in our past where we've not honored our parents, that we would straighten it out. First and foremost with you, but then also with our parents. Father, we understand this command comes with a promise, and you have demonstrated over and over again that you take this promise very seriously. Forgive us where we failed you, strengthen us to obey you, and bring us back again safely the next time. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.